what first motivated you to run for state's attorney?
Oh, what first motivated me? I guess I wanted to make a difference in the county, and I felt that I was a good fit for what I was hearing from different individuals.
Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Well, I have a lot of people that have approached me about what could be done differently in the administration. I had previously worked here for a period of almost 2 years, and I myself saw things that I thought could be changed to benefit the county, and then I had different people approach me from different drug groups about the problems they saw, things that weren't being addressed properly, and I thought maybe I could make a change, so I decided it was that time I wanted to run.
Generally speaking, how would you describe your experience transitioning to this office?
The transition so far has been great. I've got a great staff that works here, people that work. I've got a great group of assistant state's attorneys, personnel, and the transition has been fairly easy. I've had, like I said, I'm surrounded by wonderful people.
You were recently elected to the office of state's attorney over your predecessor, Brian Towne. What issues do you still have to tackle from the previous administration?
I don't know that there's any issues that he's left hanging from his administration. I know I made quite a few campaign promises, and I have already begun work on those, and they are in progress. And I probably will put out some type of a statement at my 100-day point, letting people know what I've accomplished and what I promise to do and what I'm continuing to work on.
What sorts of new cases and issues are you dealing with currently?
Right now, I was just down in the courtroom. My first month in office, we had a murder case down in Streeter. And that case is a rather disturbing case. And I've gotten to see the really bad side of people. And that, to get thrown into that my first month in office, again, thankfully to the wonderful staff I have here, we've all worked together. We worked with the sheriff's department in getting this gentleman, and we have a very solid case. But that's probably the biggest issue I've had since I've been here.
Hopefully not the only case.
No, there are quite a few other cases that I'm taking a more personal interest in, and I'm getting involved more and more. I do screenings for criminal misdemeanors. I do my own typing for the informations on them. So I like to get my feet wet and get in there and get dirty and do things that I wouldn't ask any assistant or a secretary to do that I can't do myself.
To get more specific, what first motivated you to begin investigating the SAFE program that began under your predecessor?
The SAFE program, I did have not necessarily issues when I was here working as an intern. I heard about it, read about it, and it concerned me. It just didn't feel right. But then when I was in private practice on the defense side, my office represented an individual who was charged by SAFE. And it was at that point in time I wanted to know how they were spending the money they were taking from these, you know, seizures. And so I began FOIAing the information and learned a lot. And that's when I really, really took a bigger interest in it and became more aggressive in wanting to learn more about it.
Conflict of interest has been reported as one of those issues. Could you explain that in a little bit more detail?
Conflict of interest. As a prosecutor, we are here to prosecute cases, not necessarily investigate them. That is what our fine, you know, uniformed officers take care of, and I believe they take care of it very well. I know my predecessor felt that he was helping the different agencies, and I don't see where the agencies needed help. I think they are doing a good job, and I personally choose to address the problems that are more in the community instead of going through Route 80 and going through our county.
So is it a matter of scope?
A matter of scope. I mean, these are officers that we would ultimately have to call as witnesses. So would the public perception be that there is a conflict of interest? You know, this officer is being paid by me. This officer is wearing a uniform that we have provided. So that is just something I said from day one. I would never continue, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, whether they say it's legal, whether it's illegal, whatever they come out with, that is a program that I would immediately stop.
That segues well into my next question. What are your ultimate plans for SAFE?
There are no plans for SAFE. It's done. It's disbanded. The vehicles that were being used as part of SAFE sit in my back parking lot. They're not being used. My first assistant and myself are working on getting the money back that was sent over to Spring Valley. We're currently in the process of that, and we're working with the city attorney from Spring Valley on recouping that money that was sent over there.
And are there any other cases that you're addressing from the previous administration? Not necessarily of that same kind of scope, but more in the nature of continuity.
I have issued a policy that on cases involving pornography, child abuse, or elder abuse, that I want to be more involved. I want to see these cases before we make offers to defense lawyers or the public defender, because I want to know and feel comfortable and sleep good at night that this is the best we could do. I don't want to plead out cases just because it might be the easier thing to do. I want to, again, review those more carefully, and if there's some technical issue or something that I can help with research on, that's what I want to do. And that is a case that we have going on right now with a nursing home, an individual who was allegedly abused at a nursing home, and I took a personal interest in that and have done a lot of research on it, and I'm working closely with Mr. Mueller on that right now.
Apart from the increased scrutiny, is that a significant change in policy?
I believe so. I don't know what happened here when Mr. Towne was in office, but I have been told that I'm probably taking a more firm approach and, you know, reviewing cases, and I'm here every day. I've been here every day since I took office, with the exception of 3 days that I went to a state's attorney's conference down in Springfield. It was for newly elected state's attorneys, but I'm here every day. I have weekly meetings with my staff to go over cases to make sure witnesses are subpoenaed, and I just try, again, to take a more active role in what goes on in this office on a day-to-day basis.
Stepping into the role of state's attorney, was there anything that surprised you?
Something that surprised me. Being in private practice, I guess, there is a big difference coming from private practice to working for the government. I'm more conscientious of how I spend money, because this is no longer my money or my firm's money. This is the taxpayer money. And I do take that very seriously, because I'm a taxpayer myself, and I don't want to subject the county to any more expenses than they have to be. So I'm reevaluating staff. I know that a couple people have left here and I've not necessarily replaced them. And I'm trying again to save money. I meet with the county board on looking at different ways to save money. And that's probably the biggest thing that I've noticed coming from private practice to working for the government, is just watching how I spend money.
Has your courtroom approach changed with the shift in venue?
My approach to the courtroom is, as a lawyer, this is what I want to do. This is what I went to law school for. So I want to be in that courtroom every day. And I typically show up, I go down to the traffic courtroom, you know, do you need any help here? What can I do? I'm not there just to be a presence for publicity reasons at all. I want to be in a courtroom. So I do have the administrative side that I have to do, but my true passion is the law, and I want to be working down there.
Anything to add on the subjects we've discussed so far?
Anything I'd like to add? I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it. I have been in the legal profession for about 30 years, starting out as a paralegal. And when I say that I'm not going to give anybody something to do in my staff that I can't personally do, I type up my own letters, I type up my own memos. I don't know that my predecessor did that, but if I can take the workload off somebody and do these things myself, I have no problem. But for 30 years in the law, this is absolutely what my passion is.
You mentioned workload. Is that an issue in some law offices?
In the private field, the workload is, again, when I was a defense lawyer, I did all my own work. I didn't have a secretary. I did it myself. So I kind of bring that here to the state's attorney's office. So when people say, well, we work for you, we'll do it, I'm uncomfortable giving people work. It's like, no, I can do it. I will do it. And that is kind of my philosophy. I have no problem helping wherever help's needed. You know, if I need to sit and answer the phone, I'll do it. Again, it's just, I'm not going to ask somebody in my staff to do something I absolutely would not do myself.
Understandable.
One more subject I wanted to ask you about. There's been a lot of talk about asset forfeiture, in particular, where President Trump mentions he would, quote, ruin a judge's career. Any comment on that?
Civil asset forfeitures, I know that this is getting to be a big deal in the different states, and they want a crime charged with any type of asset forfeiture. It's not so much the forfeitures that concern me, it's how that money is spent. And the statutes specifically guide how that money is spent. It's to be used for drug education or drug enforcement. So if there is a clear connection to that money or whatever it is being used for a drug transaction, and we have enough there, I don't necessarily mind taking that, and there doesn't always necessarily need to be a charge tied to it. I would always, of course, prefer there be a criminal charge tied to it, but if it just isn't there, but if there is money that's been heat sealed or vacuum sealed, and you know they can't explain it, then yes, take that money, but let's use it for the good. I have been meeting with various police departments since I took office, asking them, what are your concerns in your communities? What do you need addressed? How can that money that we have in our asset account, our forfeiture account, be used to help these communities? And, you know, some of them say we don't need anything. Some say, you know, we could use cameras, we could use a dog, and that's how I want to use the money. So I wasn't so much objecting to forfeitures as I am how that money is spent. And I am very conscientious about that. I have a committee that has to approve any expenditures out of there. So we're taking this very seriously on how the money is used.
Vacuum sealed bags of money? When does that come up?
There have been times when they've pulled people over and they have had the money that's been sealed in plastic. And if it's because there's an odor with the drugs, or if it's being used, you know, obviously something like that would raise a red flag. And if they can't explain, a lot of times they'll say, we don't know how that money got there, that's not our money. So then you can make that assumption that it's being used for illegal purposes. But when you've got, you know, just somebody traveling across the state and they might have $5,000 cash in their wallet, if they can tell us, you know, hey, we're heading to Vegas, we typically don't carry, you know, credit cards, we're cash people. I mean, these officers around here are well-trained and well-educated, and they can make those calls. They bring it up here to us to verify what they've done is correct, and a lot of times there's no need to second-guess what they do. But as far as policing for profit, I'm not for that at all.
Finally, your office composes the entirety of LaSalle County. What's it like interacting with all of those different law enforcement departments, particularly when it comes to the varying sizes of municipality?
So far, everybody has been great. I have met from, you know, bigger towns to smaller communities, and they all have the same concerns, the same problems. There is a heroin epidemic facing a lot of these areas, and that is something I take very seriously. I have the paperwork. I'm working on a grant that's due by February 28th to get a drug court here. I have met with a chief judge about a drug court, and he's indicated that if we get the funds to get it up and running, he'll provide us with whatever we need. So the police agencies have been great. I mean, whatever I can do to help them, and I've said, here's what I need from you, you know, as far as report writing, as far as arrests. And we're here to work together to make sure that this is a safe area.
County level or here in Ottawa?
A county level drug court is what I'm talking about. So they would come from, you know, any agency and have that referral here, but that's what we're working on. That's our goal.
And would the ultimate goal be treatment, rehabilitation, that sort of thing?
Correct. And we're also working on getting a mental health court. They have, the 708 board has already got a planning grant to discuss the need for a mental health court. And then, of course, starting next year, veterans courts are going to be mandatory. So we're looking at all these avenues, if they can be combined, how this is going to work for us here in LaSalle County.
Finally, is there anything you'd like to add, clarify, or anything else I might not have touched on?
No, I would just like to thank anybody who voted for me, because I do love what I do. I have a passion for it, and I hold myself accountable to each and every individual out there. So if there's any concerns, anybody has any questions, comments, please feel free to reach out to me here at the office. I try to hold myself very accessible.